Tanya and Steve, number one in Newcastle with McDonald Jones, the Hunter's leading home builder.
She's at the Moth Club. He likes candles in the bathtub. She loves a ricotta solo. He lives a carabolo. We start to fool a dealer. The bloke and the Sheila. Their boss is always in despair because their meetings happen on air.
And Steve.
Live from Honeysuckle and across Newcastle and the Hunter.
Celebrating 10 years.
Welcome to Monday.
Yes.
And a first Monday of the end of daylight saving. So it's 6 o'clock, but it feels like 7 o'clock. So it's fantastic.
So good.
Isn't it?
I completely forgot. Completely forgot that we were flicking clocks yesterday.
So it was only when you woke up and it changed automatically.
And everyone I talked to said the same thing because it's usually Easter Sunday.
Yeah, okay.
And it was like, yeah, I don't remember us talking about it because you always give me the heads up Friday.
What's the little poem?
Turn your clock somehow.
Spring forward.
Yes, and
fall
back.
Well done.
See, and we didn't do it, and therefore I didn't remember.
Rosie, tell you, I did it in the $1,000 minute, reminded everyone.
Oh, I forgot.
Tanya.
Two.
Tanya.
Sorry, Steve. We weren't listening.
When was the last time I listened to $1,000 minute?
Well, we did. We reminded people on Friday.
Yes, we did, Steve. Yeah, I can't believe you didn't remember that, Steve.
It was a very intensive reminder.
I don't reckon you care so much these days because you know everything just changes itself.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah, you don't back have in the day, to worry about it, you're right. No.
And that is my problem, because I still go the old analog watch, and that's my go-to when I wake up, not my phone, so I'm just looking at it.
Yeah, my watch still says 7 o'clock too, right now.
Yeah.
I've got to change it. Yep.
Does mine?
And his is an Apple watch.
Nah, mine's a
Yours
should
say
watch.
7, T. You've got mine old
does,
analog too.
Mine does say 7.
Yeah, we've all got to change our watch. That's our watches, that's the only thing.
See, we're all a 1980s breakfast show at heart.
What does it show you, though? We don't actually look at our watches to tell the time.
Except me.
Using our phones.
It's true, though. And it's true.
Yeah.
It's pretty much how we go. But isn't it nice? Look at the day.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Unlike Friday. It wasn't quite as pretty as that, was it?
That was insane.
Oh, look, and whilst, you know, we all woke up and had a beautiful weekend from Saturday on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's still so many people affected.
Mm.
Hundreds still without power. People evacuated. It's not over yet for people, for a lot of our state. So those poor little buggers around the Hawkesbury.
Oh, no.
And we're again. Yeah. They cop it every time.
Yeah, true. Friday was fun driving down because, as we know, in that sort of weather conditions, I was going to Sydney, by the way, if you're just on it for a weekend with my boy, that's when the brilliant drivers come out.
Yeah.
Was it crazy on the
M1?
Were they speeding?
Oh, Jack, you're on the M1. You're three abreast. You know, it's Friday Ave.
Yeah.
It is like the wipers are flat out.
Sure.
You can't see. And I'm doing 100 to 95.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Flying past me.
Yeah, I know. But that's,
crazy.
It's so strange. Mm. The cops tell you that all the time. In wet weather,
people
speed up.
I hate to say that about my mum, but my mum always used to say, the speed limit is up to. I went, what do you mean, Mum? You don't have to do it.
Absolutely.
It's up to 110. You can do 80 if you like. And she was like, you're all right, Mum. Of course, as a, you know, pee player. No, it's 110, Mum. Anyway, yeah, there's lots of madness out there. There's lots of rain.
Yeah.
Footy was good.
Look, for 10,000 people near that to turn out on that Friday night to watch the Knights.
Crazy.
Unbelievable.
I can only hope they're all season pass holders and said, bugger it, we paid for it, we're going.
Oh, couldn't believe it.
Oh, it's crazy. Did you keep seeing the bloke on TV?
The snorkel?
Yeah, his wetsuit, snorkel and flippers.
Yeah.
And
a legend.
Didn't Channel 9 love him?
I know, but to go to all that trouble for a sight gag, well done you.
Oh, every time. You're right. You've got to pay a good sight gag, haven't you? Because he thought to himself, if I'm down in the front, I'll get on camera.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. It was a great win as well.
Yeah,
got
fantastic.
The 2 points. We got Matty Croker coming in after 7 o'clock to tour. He was almost over for a try, Matty Croker.
Yep.
I was like, oh, go!
Nearly. Although the good thing in conditions like that, though, isn't it, is that you actually dive at the 20-metre line and slide into the try line.
It was so much fun. I wonder whether they'd say that, because at one point I was getting going, this is silly now. Someone's going to get really hurt.
So did I.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they were sliding into back walls and things like that, or ankles were turning.
It was fun to watch, though, don't you reckon?
Yeah.
Like, it was
bit
so
old
good.
School.
Bit of old school. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but you're right. All we needed to see was them all laughing on little kids.
Yeah.
And we would have been, well, they weren't.
No.
I'd love to know how to fix the grass after that game.
Well, what
like
was
how
missing?
To drain it.
What was actually missing in all of that?
Was it all the sponsorship stuff?
No. Or? Mud.
Yeah.
There's still no mud.
Just
there's
a
no
little
mud.
Bit around the try, but barely.
Yeah.
But okay, on that, did you see the summer Rocha State mud?
Oh, no, for Jimmy Barnes.
Oh, wow.
Horrendous.
Yeah. Oh, like, it was Woodstock 68. Wood, like, it was deep. And everyone lining up at the bar, sludging through mud.
Oh.
But smart enough, because most of them had
gumboots.
Yeah. They got it.
And you know that Roche Estate is that natural bowl?
Yep.
So it would have been
sitting down the bottom.
In the middle of it.
There was one mate of mine, you know, he's filming the band, and then the camera came down to his feet, and it was up to just below his knee.
No.
But not one person was bitching.
No, they had a great time.
Again, just like we say, what is it with us and playing in the rain?
Exactly. All right, we're away for a Monday. It's the 8th of April. Good morning, everyone. Your chance to join us at our 10th year birthday bash. It's happening next week as well. It's going to happen throughout the show today. This is Newcastle's Triple M. On the line.
You'll never know what you'll find. What did you find on the line?
I'm just reading about the greatest betrayal, worse than adultery, between a couple.
Ooh.
What do you think that could be?
In 2024 or in general?
In general. Mm. Been around since the dawn of time.
Oh, okay. In that case,
I've got an idea.
What?
You have a go first, Steve.
Well, the obvious, we all go sleep with someone else, but it's obviously not that.
It's worse than adultery.
Right.
So it's something worse than adultery.
I don't know.
Can I have a guess?
Yep.
Is it watching a TV show, like cheating on your partner?
Oh,
like,
that, yes.
Is it that?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry. I thought it was like skipping ahead a few episodes.
I think he's right.
I don't know whether sleeping with someone else compares to skipping ahead a few episodes.
Oh, I don't know. All right, how would you have been during Game of Thrones?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, still don't think I would have divorced him over it.
Fair enough.
Okay. Would have been very angry, but yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, it's secrets about money and money debt and keeping things from your partner. It's emotionally devastating. And this is the weird thing. It crosses all generations. So it's not just a boomer. It's not just an X. It's not just a Z.
Well,
everyone agrees.
As you guys know, very, very, I won't say who, very, 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 very close to me.
Yeah.
Broke up a 5-year relationship over that.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah. She's very close to me. Doesn't live in this country. Right. That's enough, we'll say.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's secret like just secret spending and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was about, and I say only, meaning, okay, but it's $5,000 that, yeah, but like exactly what you're describing.
Yeah.
Just
And that punch in the guts when you find out about what's been hidden from you.
Yeah.
They say you don't recover. With cheating partners, you'll either break up or you even recover.
Yeah.
But the toxicity of being duped over money, it's so incredibly personal. And it's like, well, so sleeping with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
that, you know, look, yeah, anything when you break trust.
Mm. Well, that's it, isn't
anything
it?
When word. You break trust, do you ever get it back?
Yeah.
And people go, yeah, people try. I find that really hard to believe 100%.
Yeah.
Not you can get on with it, but 100%.
Yeah.
But yeah, money. So like, yeah, the scenario I know was just kind of like not being able to pay bills, doing it really tough whilst shuffling money aside for other things.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's bad.
Other bad things.
Ooh. Well, they cite many examples like that, Steve, when I was reading the article.
Okay.
One woman, she'd been saving so every week, putting money away, wanted this business,
yeah.
Assumed that she was there, went to the bank and they went, probably should talk to your partner. And he'd been squirreling it away himself, just like you say.
Yeah.
And it was a decent amount of money. And she was like interviewed for this article going, I can't. Like there is no way back from this.
No.
Because it was so intentional.
Mm.
It's not like you go out, get drunk. I'm not excusing it, but you go out, get drunk and you fall into bed, right?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
But she said this was sober, broad daylight.
Yep.
Just bringing me down every second of the day.
Wow. Yeah, no, I do get that, though. And as you say, not deleting it, but to me, everything with intent's far worse than a mistake.
A mistake,
Look, yeah, you know what, I should have told you, blah, or what, but ongoing intent.
Yep.
And then you just never get that trust back, do you?
No.
You just never would trust that they're going to be
No. Does loyalty. It depend on amount? Oh, look. Meaning, what's this $200 thing here? You know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, just yeah. saving that.
Yeah, I reckon it would depend on amount.
And also, though, in the same article, it was mentioned what a lot of us do. I say a lot of us, maybe more female than male, and that's lie about the cost of something.
No, you don't lie. You just don't tell us. You don't lie. I'll defend you there. You've never lied.
No, that's true. I'll say...
You've avoided.
Not as much as you think it was.
Pretty sure my wife lies.
I'm trying to be good here, mate. Yeah. But does she ever give you a figure?
No, it's a bit like Tanya. Like,
no, so that's not
always
lying.
Tells me how much she's saving.
That's not lying.
Yeah, like it was 30% off or 40% off.
And it probably was.
Yeah, and then I've occasionally, like, I always look at the tag and I go, how much was it?
Risey roots around in the bin for the tag.
Yeah, 100% I do.
This is where you do fall into the wifey category there, mate, I must admit. You're the kind of guy that gets a present, thanks, and he goes to the toilet and then Googles the price.
Oh, have you seen my history? Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
So that's worse, eh?
Yeah.
Money.
Money. Worse money. than
money than what? Skipping ahead and watching a couple of episodes of Breaking Bad. Can't believe it.
Well, I was actually thinking of sleeping with someone else.
Oh, sorry, you were thinking that.
But he seems to be stuck on this whole TV thing, doesn't he? Which kind of shows you where Risey's sitting in his life right now, isn't it? It's like the worst thing that can happen now at this point in time in your life.
Yep.
Whoa! I just lost.
Coffee spill. We have got to go to the ad break.
No, we don't. Show's over.
Feel better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Tanya and Steve's.
You won't get this.
You won't get this.
Yeah, this is where Steve asks the question, poses some sort of cryptic clue, and you can win a double pass to A Day on the Green with James Taylor.
Oh, righto. When is that?
That is coming up Saturday, April 27, at Bimbadgin, Hunter Valley, of course.
Not far off.
Nope, it's James Taylor and his all-star band on his final Australian tour live at A Day on the Green.
1-3-3-5-3. Give us a call right now. If you like the sound of that, you can grab your tickets from Ticketmaster. Josh Pike, Ella Hooper are going to be there as well. Or just call us now, 1-3-3-5-3, and solve this little thing that Steve's got for us.
This is something involving Singapore and law. Now, I'm doing this as a bit of a heads up. We all, you know, if someone talks about Singapore, it's like, yeah, they're quite strict.
Very strict.
And, if you put your chewy on.
Oh,
right?
We all think about chewing gum.
Thank you. That's why I thought I'll get that out of the way. It's not.
It's not chewing gum.
But it's a law that is literally a law.
Love that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I thought I'll get chewing gum out of the way.
Okay. So are you narrowing it down or...
Yeah. I'll try.
Okay. So, all right, you just got to ring and be a part of it.
So glad you did that too, because straight away you say something about, you know, it's illegal if you put your chewy on the ground and get red. It's very clean.
Very.
Singapore, isn't it?
Yes. You do not find any of the old grey flattened chewy on the grounds of Singapore. Because they drag you away forever.
Which worries me too. If you've ever been through the airport, they have lots of guns.
Yeah. Ross is at Lambton. G'day, Ross.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Very well.
All right, Ross, it's Singapore. It's another one of those laws, as in if you throw your chewy on the ground, blah, all right. But this law, people have literally been arrested for, I'll narrow it down, something that happened in a toilet block.
Ooh.
No, don't go that way either.
No, don't say it.
No.
No.
It's obviously not that either.
Not that, no.
Give me a hint.
I can't, well, that's a big hint what I gave you. Something that can happen in the toilets. It's literally a Singapore law and people have been arrested.
Sang?
There you go, but good, but no.
Not Singapore.
No.
Nice one.
Thank you, Ross.
You still think of George Michael.
Debbie's at Fern Bay. Debbie, have a listen. See if you can nail it.
It's illegal in Singapore to do something in the toilet and people have literally been arrested for it.
Oh, hilarious. I don't know. Spit in the toilet.
Spit in the toilet?
No.
Okay.
Good guess, Deb. Have
like
a great
it.
Day.
My next clue is if someone does it at work, you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah, I've got a feeling.
Shane Ugh. Is at Edgeworth.
It's
Hello,
illegal, Shane, to do in Singapore something in the toilets. What is it?
Would it be not to flush the toilet?
Yes.
Oh, not flush. Oh. I was just writing not clean bowl.
That's what I thought,
yeah.
Too.
Nah, not flushing. If the culprit can be caught, to the point where I was reading one where they actually tracked down on CCTV.
Oh, my God. Shane, you've picked up a double pass to A Day on the Green with James Taylor coming up Saturday, April 27 at Bimbadgin.
Beauty, thank you, Tanya.
You are welcome,
good idea,
Shane.
Well done, Shane. Have a great day.
Don't you think that's something a law we wouldn't mind here either?
Well, yes. Absolutely.
But that's why it involved the workplace.
How many times do you walk into a public toilet and go, oh, and make your way back out and find a cleaner cubicle?
I've never understood why.
Why?
No, understood.
People don't flush.
Just flush it.
I know.
I've never understood. What were you in that much of a hurry?
Maybe they're trying to save water everywhere they go.
Oh. Yeah, well, that's what they'd say to the judge. The list. The list. It's funny, on the drive down on Spotify, T, you can hit a thing called Moody Mix. Moody Mix is, yeah. So I hit it, played it a little bit, and it was basically sad songs, right?
Yeah.
But it really triggered to me how many sad songs there are, and do they really help or not? Because they say it's actually good occasionally to listen to a sad song.
Absolutely. Let your emotions flow.
Yeah.
Spend that 3.5 minutes, you know, feeling down. And, you know.
I love listening to sad songs.
Do you?
Funeral Mix, I think I put it in my playlist.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh,
what? Really? Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah, serious.
Oh, my God. That really is a sad day when you're asking Google for Funeral Mix.
Yeah.
Well, it started last week with the Terry Jack song.
Jamie and I always go, as soon as someone says saddest song ever, we go, we've won.
This one.
You can join us as well, 133353 with your sad song.
Goodbye to you, my trusted friend.
Oh.
It's about him dying.
We've known each other since we
it
were
has been used in a lot of movies.
And a lot of people didn't realise, because it's Seasons in the Sun having fun going, that's a sappy song.
Yeah, because then the chorus is quite uplifting. Yeah. Well, not uplifting.
It's when it gets to the part, goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die.
It's
goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die.
All right.
Yeah.
So I don't think you'd be able to top that, but we want to create a list of the saddest songs. What is your go-to? What do you think the saddest song around is?
133353. We'd love to talk to you right now. Give us a call.
As I pointed out to you Friday, my new one definitely is this one. So how do I say goodbye? Someone who's been with me for my whole You're dancing happily to it now.
That's Dean Lewis.
And it's about him finding out his dad's got cancer.
Yeah, okay.
And like, but yeah, it's a great song.
Oh, that's so... Oh, so he hasn't died, but he's starting to already contemplate how he's going to be able to say goodbye. Oh, that's really sad. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think we'll Rosie's look after mum and all the rest of it goes in there.
Rosie's going to add that to his funeral mix.
Yeah, 100% I'm putting
no,
it
mate,
in.
You have to have a new one now. It's called pre-funeral mix.
Well, let's go to Nikki at Gilliston Heights. Hi, Nick.
Hey guys, how are you?
Very well.
What is your sad song, Nick?
Ghost by Justin Bieber.
Oh,
I haven't heard this one.
I don't know this. What's it about?
Oh, it's just about a ghost of someone that passed away that's there, and it makes you bawl. And
let's have a listen.
Yeah, this is an MTV version, so I think this might be it. But if I can't get close to you, I know this song.
I didn't know it was called Ghost.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Nice one, Nick.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah. Added to the funeral mix.
Yeah.
Dave's at Medford. Hello, Dave.
How you going, guys?
Very well.
What's yours, Dave?
Mate, because I'm the last kid of eight in our family, I suppose I'm starting to see all my family die.
Yep.
But every funeral I've been to so far is that Over the Rainbow by that the big Fiji guy. I can't think
of Hawaiian. Name.
Israel, yeah.
Israel. Let's stick it with Israel. The last name's very hard.
No, I agree with you, Dave. Yeah. There was even my nan had that at her funeral.
But I saw it popping up at loads of weddings as well.
Yeah, okay.
It was a weird kind of mix. I know when it got really popular, wasn't it?
Wasn't it in 50 First Dates or whatever?
Something like that.
It was.
Yeah.
Something
like that. We don't have it, Dave, but thank you.
System, no.
Definitely belongs on the list.
Most people know. Don't they? Like,
yeah.
That kind of ukulele.
Somewhere.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, you know what? You know what, T? You've just made my day. Because you thought, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Steve. I'm going to have a crack at it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a bloody crack.
Apologies.
No, don't. I'm proud of you.
David, good morning.
How are you?
Very well. What's your sad song?
Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You.
See, this isn't a death. This is a breakup.
It is. Love that, particularly now that she's gone.
Yeah,
it's very
yeah.
sad.
I forgot that it was a Prince song.
Yeah, he wrote it.
Yeah.
John's at Rutherford.
Hey, how you going?
Very well.
Ooh, what's yours, John?
Okay, back in the 70s, a lovely Irish balladeer by the name of Gilbert O'Sullivan sang a song called Alone Again, Naturally.
Ooh.
Do you know it? I don't think Rosie's furrowing his brow.
Alone
we don't
again.
Have it.
Naturally. See, we know it.
Yeah, know it. Thank you, John.
Oh, thank you. We're going to go to another John here.
John!
Yes.
What's yours?
Yeah, it's Monsters by Ed Sheeran.
It's not Ed Sheeran. It's I know the one you mean, and don't play it right. I will howl and leave the studio.
Oh, sorry. It's not Ed Sheeran. James Blunt.
Yeah, James Blunt.
Oh,
monster.
Yeah.
Again, found out his dad was getting cancer.
Yeah.
Did the clip with his dad sitting next to him.
Oh, yes, I remember the clip.
Oh, it's one of the best songs.
Really is.
Oh, no. Yeah. Not, haven't got it right?
No, don't have it in the system. Yeah. Sorry.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why.
I hope you've got this one, because this is a sad song.
I don't have it. I think you're going to have to sing this one.
Tenya,
I hope it's by Billy Joel.
It's not.
Or Well Bugger It, then we've got it.
Pete is at Belmont. What is the song that you think? Because I agree with you, Pete. It's so sad.
I'm actually at Warner's now, but it's Billy, Don't be a hero. Don't be a fool with your love.
I heard she got a letter.
And something about keeping your hair long.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Very sad.
Keep your head low.
Keep your head low.
Duck the bullets. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Wow. I haven't heard that forever, and you're right.
Keep
your hair long. Well done, Steve.
Who's whistling? I don't
Me.
Know. Okay.
The marching band came down along Main Street.
On, Rise. Where's your good stuff when we need it?
Oh, no, is it by Phil Collins or Billy Joel?
Exactly. I've got a bit of
Paper
that song.
Paper Lace did it, yeah, yeah.
I've got a bit of that song here. I'm going to play it off YouTube here. Oh, no, it's not Dave's this week. So forget about it.
All right. Thanks for that, though. That is definitely on the list. So let's do the last one with Kimmy at Raymond Terrace.
What's yours, Kim?
It's Beam Me Up by Pink.
Don't know that one.
Why is it sad? I don't know.
It's about wanting a minute to be able to talk to someone that's no longer here.
Ah.
Okay.
And it was actually written, she wrote it for a friend of hers that had a miscarriage.
Okay. Well, that is sad.
Just beautiful.
There you go. See, Pink wants to talk to someone to die. She just beam me up. Any of my friends, I'd have to say, drill me down.
Well, this is my sad song I want to add to the list. Amy, Back to Black.
When's that movie coming out, Steve? This year. Looks amazing.
The girl that they've got playing Amy Winehouse is Amy Winehouse. It's quite incredible.
Yes.
I don't know when it's coming out. Step in.
Doesn't matter, but it's this year. It's a go-to take. Or everybody, at the moment you hear the first start of it, you all look at each other and your eyebrows go, oh.
Yeah.
Everybody hurts. See, you just did it.
I know this has got a special place in your heart, though.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, well, God, yeah.
You know, it's your go-to.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway.
Something fun to play at home on a Monday morning. song.
Don't forget, email to MMM@Risey, songs to add to his funeral playlist.
Absolutely. I like to listen to about 4 or 5 beers deep on a Thursday afternoon.
Yeah,
I'm having a Thursday drinking session.
Yeah, I'm sure the kids love it.
Why is that, though? Because usually when people do go to, like, an afternoon of sad songs, there's something desperately wrong in their life.
Oh, we haven't got that long to Don't let him start. I do it, though.
Yeah, I just like it sometimes, yeah.
Hence the moody mix.
Yeah.
Was a bit like that, too.
Great. Driving to Sydney on a flogging down Friday afternoon with your boy listening to moody mix.
Oh, no, it didn't last long, trust me. But you know the first song that popped?
What?
And the drugs don't work. And he's like, what's this one about?
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home.
Turn it up loud and clear, because Tanya
right.
Something I noticed you didn't. I know you were talking about it last week, but I looked at it and went, I don't think I could do that. Find 4 couples to share a house with for a weekend that are the same, you know, that I would comfortably know would all get on.
Oh, no, it was only 2 couples.
Oh, it was only 2?
Yeah.
Oh, well, in that case, well done again. No, because you had the big house. I thought there was 4. Only 2.
No, we had a big house.
Yeah, that's why I thought 4.
We could have fit a soccer team in there, but no, there was only 4 of us.
Oh, got ya. Okay.
So it was just you and Michael and another couple?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's safer.
Yeah.
Because I did. It went through my mind. It was like, okay, not anything wrong with any couple.
Yeah.
But different.
I know what you mean. But sharing houses with people is exciting to me.
Yeah.
I actually love it.
Yeah.
I took board games. I took all sorts of things.
Which ones, Tanya? Sorry, Steve. I felt like I had to ask.
But you know what, right? As they're driving up, the only really happy person in the rain was they're trapped. They've got to play board games. There's nowhere to go now. They'll be playing board games.
Absolutely. And I was so devastated when we woke up Saturday and the sun was shining.
At your beach house.
That's okay. It's all right, mate. She got out the giant Jenga.
Do you do that, though? Do you take board games when you go away with other people?
And if it's a B&B or a stay-away thing, I like finding the crappy bits.
Yeah,
with
that they leave
most
around.
Of them missing them
I
in
don't, because 1,000 million people have wiped their bits and pieces and then touched the pieces.
No, she's right. The first thing, as soon as I'm away, if you get the Monopoly board, I'm there rubbing it on my button, no time.
100%.
Give me that board. Cop that, you next people staying here.
Don't you think, honestly, every game that is available to you in an Airbnb is just cruddy. There is things on there that you go, I reckon they have done that, Steve.
There's guaranteed to be bits missing.
Yeah, there's always, yeah, right. So I always take my own board games.
But to repeat, Rising, name one board game you took.
A 5-second rule.
Oh, that's okay, thank God, because if someone gets out Monopoly, it's like, no.
No, I nearly took the Newcastle Monopoly.
Yeah, there you are, but
just goes too long. Yeah, everyone loses interest after
a while.
And then
I've got this colour game that all the answers are colours.
Pretty fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was nationality. Let's play the coloured game.
No, like what colour is the Australian $20 note?
Oh, okay. Oh,
red.
Yeah, ish. Yeah.
Oh, okay, what so that would have been wrong.
I'll tell you what, let's check.
Well, Steve's got one there.
Yeah, it is.
Red with a bit of grey and a bit of
We'll say red.
Black.
What was the answer?
That wasn't in it. It's an American game. So.
Oh, God. It's getting worse, right?
It was hard, actually.
Yeah, it's very hard.
What's the 47th state of the United States' coloured flag? Oh, this is no fun, Tanya.
This is hard. So,
but then the sun came out. I bet the couple that were with you ran outside.
They maybe did suggest going outside.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I had to go and get the keys and unlock the door.
Oh, I can imagine.
You trapped them in. Yeah,
I know, Tanya. Just they were in bed right in the morning going, but just ask her. No, you ask her. But she said she wanted to play. She wanted to play that board game at breakfast. I'm like, I know she did, but let's go out for breakfast. I can imagine it.
I know, and I tried so hard to hide those keys, but funnily enough, they found them.
Yep.
Yeah, I was frisked.
Tanya's prisoners were let free,
and there lies just two. See, so I'm picturing you with another three couples.
Nah, just another couple.
Because three couples, they could have broken out themselves.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, maybe got to lift up one over on the back or something. Yeah, get out of the board games.
No, I don't make it that easy. Yeah. My captors.
Quickly, I took a photo of it just to show you guys while I was away, right?
Yeah.
But where our unit was, looked over Darling Harbour, it was really lovely and everything, but it was over the top of Cargo, if you know
Yeah,
it.
Cargo,
right?
The bar.
Big
yep.
nightclub.
Yep.
I took this photo deliberately because it's 3 a.m, you know, I come out and they're all outside. Have a look, right? It is just packed with kids, and I'm calling them kids, 18 to 22 outside, all vaping,
yep.
right? Or smoking or vaping.
Mm.
But the standout to me wasn't the smoking or vaping. I looked down and went, oh, no.
Is it the white sneakers? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done, Tanya.
They've all got white sneakers
I looked
sneakers
and went,
on.
Oh, my God, it's Seinfeld again.
Yeah. Mm.
It's back.
Yep.
It's back, isn't it?
Yeah, very much
jeans
so.
And white sneakers. Mm.
Oh, they're wearing jeans and white sneakers.
Yes.
Mm. Very Seinfeld-ish.
It's all 1996.
Yeah.
No.
No.
But now that's cool. So, look out. Look out, 10th birthday bash. Let's go Seinfeld.
Jeans and white sneakers, love it.
I do hate
a bit
that
of a theme.
Though.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
No, I'm not a fan. But yeah, instead of like, oh, those kids vaping, they shouldn't be. White shoes!
Matty Croker scores.
For the Newcastle Knights, Matty Croker.
Hello, Maddie.
Morning.
Congratulations.
Happy Monday. It's a good Monday when we win.
Yeah.
He's still wringing out his socks.
Yeah, I know. Your boots are still drying.
Let's just set the scene. This was Mark Glanville sidelined for Triple M's footy call on Friday night.
The conditions are the temperature's 21 degrees and wet. The humidity, it's 89% and wet. And
only
the wind, 89%. It's out of the east with gusts of up to 60k an hour and it's wet.
So handling's been quite good too, hasn't it?
Oh, there you go. The mop.
Well, I think he might have got distracted. There was a fish swam past him a minute ago. I'm reliving my childhood. Feels like I've wet myself.
That's a fair description of how it was.
I'm glad he summed up it was wet because it was.
Matt, we were saying before we talked here that we were worried as viewers watching the match that you guys were going to get hurt, but was it that on your mind, or was it just taking you back to childhood?
Not really. Not getting hurt at all. It's funny you mentioned that, because we've all got, like, grazes on our knees, and we're wondering, like, how do you get that when it was we're playing in puddles? So, but yeah. No one was really thinking about it, but it definitely felt like it was... We were 10 years old, mucking around, sliding around at the park and
it
that.
So it was so fun.
And I think the fans got engaged to it as well. There was blokes, yeah. Like young kids sliding down the hill. And, you know, speaking of the fans, 10,000 there.
Oh, that's incredible.
On Friday night, a late game. And it was, monsoon rain. It was awesome. And they were loud, too.
I was about to say, could you hear
it? They were loud, yeah. They were. I'm not too sure, maybe because they were all up high trying to hide from the rain. So maybe that's why it felt like it was a bit more loud. But, yeah, they were awesome. And they'll be there again on Thursday.
You know what stuck out to me? You see it when they go, you know, the ball's a bit damp. That there wasn't a lot of drop ball.
No.
Like it's pretty good.
Bucketing down, yeah. And yet on a damp night, dropping it everywhere.
I think it's funny. It's like, it's in the front of your mind. Oh, it's wet, so I've got to make sure I hold the ball. Right. Whereas sometimes when it's dry or not as slippery, it's not the first thing on your mind. So you're not as concentrated. Maybe that's why you see a few more errors. But I think we were completing it like 86% at half time, which is the main factor of why we went into half time in a good position and then ended up running away with it in the second half.
So. Do the balls take on any water at all? Do they get a bit heavier?
No, I don't think so.
They're coated.
But your boots definitely do. Yeah. It was hard to get moving. It really was. In that second half, it was proper hard to run in. It was pretty funny.
On a hard tackle hitting the turf, though, did the water sort of like cushion the hit?
Yeah, well, because. Like in the NRL now, there's so much like focus on wrestle and stuff. Like it's such a big part about winning your tackles and stuff like this. But it was that slippery that you'd hit the ground and you would both slide like 2 meters and you'd sort of end up just losing them. And you're like, oh, I can't really do too much about this. But like I said, awesome fun.
It was great to watch.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Loved it.
Now, we gave you a hard time last week about them. You know, you got a bit sidestepped and they're going on about it. But you made up for it. Have a listen to this.
KPP into it.
Oh, hang on.
Now he's been stripped of the ball by Ben Hunt, who's now lost the ball. And Matt Croker's picked it up and he's going to make a run for the line. What a crazy passage.
Oh, so close.
He ran 90 metres.
The unlikely hero gets a line break. That was funny, that. I sort of thought I was going to score. But
so did we.
I don't know who got me, but yeah, they just. I was saying to my old boy after the game, I was saying, I should have just dove from 10 metres out. I would have slid over anyway.
Buried underneath.
I would have got there eventually. But,
it was funny, isn't it? Just watching it and watching the slide, particularly one that KP did. And you as a group, we all go, whoa! Yeah. It was just fantastic.
One of the best was Daniel Safidi when they put a grubber through and the ball almost just stopped on a dime because I think it just found a puddle of water.
Yeah.
And Daniel just couldn't believe his luck and there he was. But you even seen like Bradman's slide when he slid into the barricade.
Well,
like,
that's
that
what
was
we were saying at TC. We were worried. Okay, it's just getting dangerous now.
Yeah, that's all.
And how do you reckon? Because it's another home game Thursday night against the Roosters. It's the TV game, but get out to the stadium because it's supposed to be a great night. Mm. How will the ground recover, do you think?
I'm not sure. And I know the Jets played on it yesterday, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, and there was a New South Wales Cup game before us, and there will be one before us on Thursday.
It is phenomenal how those grounds bounce back.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how much dry we're going to get in the next few days.
Yeah.
I think it's got a decent bit of sand based underneath it, so maybe it'll hold up all right. I'm not too sure.
Because the standout will be... well done, Hastings. Well done. But let's see the dry now because good on him. He's back in the side and had a great game.
He played well. I'll tell you someone else in the spine who I thought went really well for his first start back in a long time was Jaden Brayley.
Yeah.
I thought he played really well. He controlled. So when it's wet, right, a lot of the game is played through the middle because obviously you don't pass it to your wingers because they're going to slide out the sideline. And I thought Brails took a real ownership of the middle, and I thought he controlled it really well, and I was really happy to see because that's his first start in a long time.
Mm.
He's had such a treacherous run, and I was really happy for him.
Yeah.
And do you think we'll see the same halves combo Thursday night?
I think he'll stick with it, yeah. I'm not too sure what Adzi's going to do, but, I mean, it's hard to change a team that wins, isn't it? So, and like we said, Jacko and Cogs played really well. And the way they manage their short kicks, there's a bit of an art to do it in the wet, how to play with your kicking game, and I thought they both managed it really well. Like, we got a few tries off kicks, and Yeah, it was really good.
Well, get out there Thursday night against the Roosters, 7:50 at McDonald Jones Stadium. It's great to see you,
Matt.
It's
going to be awesome. Can't wait. And there's a cup game on before, so you'll get to watch plenty of footy if you get there early.
What are we looking for from Matt? Because he got stepped right this time. He's nearly scored.
He's
got to
get over the try.
I've
got to
get a try.
He's
got to
get a try. For sure.
No pressure, Matt.
We've got to put it out to the universe. We've got to get a try.
Done.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Adam.
Feel better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up loudly, because
at 7:25, Triple M, Tenure and Steve. In the 10 years, I don't think we've let a song run out with none of us in the studio, Tenure.
I know, we were just making a cup of tea.
Cruising around.
Apologies about that. Is it a short song, right?
No, I don't think it was a short song. I think we were chatting to Matty Croker after he left.
I know,
we're having
sorry
a good old
that.
Good old chat. We'll Steve not back in the studio from his little break of fresh air.
That's all right. While Steve's wandering back, here he is. We're going to talk about jobs, Stephen.
Oh!
Yeah, top five jobs.
Oh, we were doing the birthday bash.
No!
I just got stuck in the elevator with floor four people. We'll talk about that another time, but I will. It's about jobs that are most satisfying, okay?
Yeah.
Now, it's the most, it was a recent poll. It's Australian, but the number one. Oh, do you want me to start the top? Where do you want me to start?
Start at the bottom. These are the most satisfying jobs, what, anybody could possibly be in?
Yeah.
Okay, start
almost,
at the bottom.
Almost.
Because we do love a good drum roll. I know that.
And I've got it ready. Roll, I've got it ready sitting there, okay?
But I really got this, okay? And I won't even say boys anymore, but number five was dozer operator. And I got Tonka toys.
I can imagine that, yeah.
I'm not on board with this one.
No?
No. A dozer operator is the fifth most satisfying job in this country.
I think they might have just asked boys. Okay.
Fair enough.
Dozer operator, even that little picture of a boat with a big smile. That's kid's dream.
I do remember us going to New Zealand and us having to stand there and take photos of our little boy, Steve.
That's
we were in a playground and Risey found one of those little kid kind of crane operating in the sand. And we had to sit there for about half an hour and watch our son, Risey, play in the sand pit with the dozer.
How good was I? I was able to move one lot of sand to the next lot of sand.
You were very
sand
good.
Pit. It was amazing.
I think it is confirmed that this is a very accurate poll.
Exactly. I would have put that higher on my list.
Four was a counsellor. Satisfying, if you become a councillor and you have success.
Okay, so as in counselling people, not like Newcastle City Council?
No.
Okie dokie.
No, those ones usually end up in court.
Right.
What was that, number three? Okay, a care worker. So you've got councillor, care worker now.
Yeah, fair.
So remember, this is not about money or anything. It's just about going home feeling satisfied.
Satisfaction.
I get those.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you'll relate to this on a marriage level.
Two?
The number two... most popular job?
What is it?
Oh, satisfying? A tour guide.
Oh, yeah.
Your husband, Michael, was
He was. And I guess the idea of that is the satisfaction comes from people are on holidays.
Yeah.
They're in a good mood anyway.
Yep.
And they're always going, oh, really? And you're imparting knowledge and you feel good about yourself.
There you go.
So very satisfying.
Yeah.
So the number five, bit selfish, about you digging holes.
Yeah.
The rest is about making other people happy.
Absolutely.
But it's also satisfying the bulldozer one because you're moving. Sorry. Okay.
because I'm not sure where you're going to sit with this, Danny, because I know you absolutely love it. But I don't know whether you're going to sit, but the number one most satisfying job
is
firefighter.
I can imagine that would be.
Absolutely. You're saving lives. You're saving property. You get your own calendar. Women swoon.
You do bugger
so much
all.
Going on.
You do bugger all and you clean the truck.
Exactly. You check the surf five times a day. I swear to God. Do anything but check the surf?
We both have different versions of a firefighter.
Listen to the jealousy on the boy's side of the fence.
No jealousy there, mate. As you well know, whenever I see that calendar, I always say to the girls, and they're all gay. But there you go.
And they have fantastic rosters, firefighters. They do like 24 hours on, 24 off, 24 on, and then have like 5 days off in a row.
You're forgetting the part where they rush into burning situations, risking life and limb.
Oh, that old thing.
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, get in there, get a little hose. Get in there with your little hose, put the fire out, and drive home. Firefighter is satisfying for all the reasons.
Yeah.
I don't know if they thought being in a calendar was their top reason, T, but I'm glad it's yours. What do you like about being in a fire? Every year I'm August.
It's Triple M.
Work locker Warner's Bay or Morrissey. Yeah.
Well, first up, congratulations to the ground staff at McDonald Jones Stadium. If you weren't at the game, you missed this, but at the end of Friday night, the kids who were doing ball boy duties, after everyone had gone home, they were doing running slides along the sideline on their bellies and making it about 20 metres.
Oh, how good.
I don't know if they got told off for that because they had to get the surface up to scratch for Sunday Arvo Soccer, Jets v Sydney. So well done to everyone who made that happen. Now, we have to take off our Newcastle hats for this one, Tanya and Steve. It wasn't the softest red card I've seen, and maybe to the letter of the law, it was a send-off offence. But Jets defender Philip Kankar, who doesn't mind stirring up attackers, has just been nominated for next year's Condors.
He's just trying to say, look, leave me alone.
City of Newcastle Dramatic Awards for best near-death slash amazing recovery.
Straight reds.
After getting a tap on the chin by Sydney striker Robert Mack. Both coaches actually admitted afterwards it wasn't worth a red. Of course, it was gamesmanship, especially when you're trying to get off the bottom of the ladder, which the Jets did with that win. And all sports have players feigning injury and making things look worse than it is. It's just more dramatic in men's football.
Yeah.
And I don't reckon.
I'm glad you said men's.
Yeah, I don't reckon it needs to be. No. Blokes and women get their legs ripped apart by studs up challenges on a weekly basis. People have legs broken and get split open with stray elbows. I wonder if the theatrics for minor fouls are an increased overseas influence. Or I'm just curious because I've not played at a level high enough to be told to make a deal of it if you get fouled. I'd love to know at what age you're coached to make a meal of a penalty. And it's not just the Jets. Everyone in the A-League does it. And in rugby league, the AFL has players who are known as free kick magnets. At what age or what level in professional sport does that start getting coached or spelled out to you? Because I never got to that level. So I'd be very curious to know when those conversations start. Because in amateur sport, if you're simulating for your team's advantage, you get invited to the car park after the game by the opposition to give you something to really be heard about. In professional sport, though, you will be applauded for getting your team an advantage. The Jets crowd went bananas yesterday because it was a Sydney FC guy getting sent off, and the Jets often have stuff go against them, so it was nice to see one the other way. But I'm just, at what level do those conversations start about, you know, if you get a bump, put a bit of mayo on it and make sure the ref sees it.
It's the ones that are just so ludicrously bad.
That one.
Well, that one was one, yes. Like,
there's a particular Italian player from a few years back that I think fell over and no one was near him. But, you know, it's like, oh, come on, guys.
Look, I think if you're not invested in it, you laugh at it. If you're invested in the plays, the teams, well, then you're a bit cranky about it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, to me, it's like it's hidden behind the mask of gamesmanship. Mm.
But Jets fans yesterday are like, well, finally we get one go our way.
Yeah.
So you go, okay, that's the square up. Whereas if you just look at it as not a football fan, you go, wow.
Yeah.
Just don't you start doing a JR or we'll get up you for the weekend.
He's going to take a dive?
Oh, there's JR's spin on sport. Thanks to Worklog at Warners Bay or Morissette, 25% off Cat Workwear for a limited time only. And JR very humbly, Tenure and Steve didn't mention that he completed the hill to harbour yesterday.
Oh, how'd you go?
I said, all right. Oh, knee injury. Oh, he's down.
Tenure and Steve. Showers are back tomorrow. Showers increasing throughout the day tomorrow. And it's going to stay wet on and off Wednesday and Thursday and Friday at this stage as well.
Find this really interesting. When you think about NIDA, which is the National Institute of Dramatic Art, you think about acting, don't you?
Yeah.
That's not all they do. They actually run corporate training there as well.
Oh, okay.
And they're about to launch a course today, and it's called Prologue. And the course is directed at Generation Z.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those kids aged under 25.
Yep.
Or 26, sorry, Jer. That's EP Jerry. And it's all about filling the gap that many believe that Gen Z have because of the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's when Gen Z went into the workplace just post the pandemic, they've been working at home. And a lot of the things that we took for granted, and I know we're guilty of this, Steve, we look at the younger ones and we go, you're sending emails, you're sending texts, why can't you just pick up the phone?
Sure.
Because, and that's the number one complaint in this country, but not just our country, abroad, that the people look at Gen Z and go, it's really weird. They just text and email and they don't pick up the phone.
Mm.
And this whole course has been designed to get Gen Z more confident in that interpersonal skills. They call it quite confronting when they have to talk to someone because their whole communication skill set has been on widescreen communication.
But you'd even you'd weird, take, isn't you it? Would take that well out of the workplace too, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, God, yeah.
I didn't think of what that is, but okay, I get it, right? So it's like that fear of direct communication. They're happy behind the wall of a text or an email.
Yeah.
Rather than the voice speaking to someone.
Yeah, because it you can be quite considered when you're messaging someone.
Yes.
When you're emailing or texting, you can correct your mistake. Yeah. Or you can
but if you're talking, you're on the hop.
You're on your feet.
I get that.
And when you've had a generation of kids that have lived through the pandemic, they weren't in the workplace because they were working from home.
Yeah.
They haven't.
If they weren't in the workplace, they're also locked at home from school who have grown into the workplace.
Exactly. And those mistakes we all made, you know, if we've picked up the phone to a client or whatever, you get better very quickly.
Yeah.
They haven't had that opportunity to get better very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is what this course, and we're copying off other countries. So it's other countries that have led the way on this going, there's a massive gap in the communication skills of Gen Z.
The one that stands out to me, though, and it's a much more micro to what you're talking about, though, is when I'll say, oh, did you get onto that person? I'll go, no, I emailed them, but I've heard nothing. But they sit the next desk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just emailed them the idea. They're next to you. Yeah.
Can't talk to them.
That blows me away, but it's common.
Yeah. And it's not a criticism. It's,
no.
It's how the world evolved for that period of 4 to 5 years.
Yes.
And the impact it had on this one particular generation.
That's interesting, even the way you've just phrased that. It's like, okay, because I was trying to work out why is ringing hard, but because it's that immediacy that they are not used to. I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Not the same for everyone. Some kids take to it like a duck to water.
Yeah, and that's life, though, isn't it?
Of course.
You know, but the general, it sounds like if they're going to this extreme, then it's a majority aren't used to or aren't good at it.
So I'm really curious if you know a Gen Zer and you can see that in them, whether it's home or whether it's business, do you see an issue with younger people picking up the phone and making communication? That's the key to it.
We'd love to talk to you right now. 1-333-53. Pick up the phone and give us a call. Mm. We'd love to talk to you right now if you're noticing the same thing.
Personal level, but I'm not a good example, am I? Because I don't talk on the phone either. But my son, no.
Doesn't pick up the phone.
I ring three times, he knows it's important.
Yeah.
But like even the way he talks on the phone, hi.
Doesn't want to be on it.
No.
Yeah. So he won't pick up the phone to you either.
Well, not the first time.
No.
He knows it's a bit like the old, you know, when we'd ring three times, hang up, don't answer.
Yeah. So he knows.
No, if it's a couple, he knows it's important and he'll, but I can tell by the way he's talking what you're describing.
Yeah.
It's not something he's used to, you know, directly talking, and it's all a little bit just stilted.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, I know what you mean.
Yep, no, all right then. Yes, good, bye.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get off.
Mm.
But an email or a text, no problem.
Yeah. So there's a whole generation, what this course has directed, the whole generation of young people, whether they're going to be in sales, whether they're going to be in marketing, communications, that kind of thing, that they're wanting older workers to, rather than complain about it, kind of help them.
Yeah.
Bring them along with you.
Yeah.
Explain a bit better and not get frustrated. Rod's at Elibana.
Hey, Rod.
G'day, guys. How we doing?
Good. What do you think about this topic?
I found it reversed between me and my son. I deal with business people and, you know, they're obviously in meetings or on calls or whatever, so I tend to text people a lot more than most people tend to. But with my son, I'll text him and get nothing back for a week or two, and then he'll call me out of the blue and it's like, oh, mate, I'm in the middle of a meeting or I'm working, I've got something on.
Yep.
Just send me the information through. So it sends me I'm finding it reversed.
Okay.
There you go.
Interesting.
Well, we did say there will be some that take to it quickly.
Exactly.
And your son's one of them.
Thanks, Rod. We'll go to Gabby at Madawi now. Hey, Gabby.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Gab. What do you think?
I think that, yes, I have noticed it a bit, but funnily enough, I've even noticed it in my generation in Gen Y quite a bit too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it like my partner. It's really infuriating. He'll be getting a phone call and he'll just sit there watching it ring out. And I'm like, are you going to answer it? He's like, no, I'll send them a text.
Gabby, I have driven thousands of people mad with that.
Yeah. Why do you think he does that though, Gabby? What's the explanation as to why he would rather see a phone ring out?
I've seen it with him. I've seen it with a couple of friends, and I think they just get anxious exactly that about having to talk to someone, the immediacy of it, potentially getting roped into something on the spot that they may not be comfortable with.
100%. Yeah. More importantly, though, for me, I don't know, he might be the same. For me, I think it's rude if I'm with someone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm now going, person on the phone is more important than you.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm on my own, I still don't answer it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, nice excuse, Stephen.
It's bloody rude. If you're on your own, it's still rude.
Thanks, Gab.
But I think that there's part of that. For me, I don't talk on the phone, and it takes a while for people who get to know me, later in life, that it's real.
Yeah.
It's not a joke. Mm. I don't. Right? I hate it unless it's so important I have to do it.
Mm.
But for me, it's because it just takes so long.
Mm.
It's like, you know, a text is like, I'm going there, see ya.
Yeah.
Whereas you ring someone and it just gets into a conversation. I'm wondering if Gen Z are bothered with that.
We have a Gen Z who's out there. Come in here, because occasionally, and I'm, you know, I don't want to embarrass Jer, but occasionally, Jerry, let's be honest, you will say to us, I've emailed them. Mm. And in my brain, I go, why wouldn't you pick up the phone?
Well, sometimes the only form of communication I have is an email.
Yep.
And I feel like that's more reliable than if they call me and I miss their call.
Yep.
Because then it's just like a cat and mouse kind of a race. If I get a mobile, I'll always try and call that because that's the most direct, especially if we want somebody on for the next day.
Yep.
Yep.
But in saying
but
that...
But chances are they won't answer either.
Well, that's right.
Entirely. And if I see certain people from the office calling, I will let it go to voicemail.
So, but do you feel like your Gen Z cohort is like this, that they would prefer not to talk on the phone?
I think yes and no. I think that if it's in an email, it's all in writing. It's all there. Because I say yes to things on the phone and then I forget.
Mm.
And boys, if it's in an email, you've got the dot points, you've got the response. But again, I love a FaceTime. So that's just me.
Oh, nothing worse than FaceTime.
Oh, I love a FaceTime. Oh, there's nothing. It's either FaceTime, I've got to get my lippy on. it's like I've got bags under my eyes. I've got to find that foggy filter. I'm there's so many reasons why I'm bothered. But, and you know what my standard thing is?
Mm.
Are you kidding? I talk for 3 hours every freaking morning. Done. No more words left. Unlike someone else I know, there's not plenty of words left to talk on the phone.
Yeah, I'm happy to take anybody's call.
Cheers.
Even during the call. Hang on, just got someone else on line two. Hang on.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up loud because Tammy ran Steve Hill's triple.
Whoa.
What's happening here?
Oh, now, we love Jimmy Carr, right?
Yes.
And, you know, he was only in Newcastle not that long ago at the Civic.
Yeah.
That's Jimmy.
Yeah, he's a weird laugh.
And what's funny is when you see him on a podcast or whatever sitting down, he's an extremely intelligent guy and quite worldly. Anyway, he finally came up with a reply to comics getting cancelled or people complaining about, you know, that's offensive, I'm offended. And he came up with the perfect, what I think is the perfect response to how he's going to deal with it.
You can't go around apologising for jokes. They're jokes. So I've got a plan. The next time I get cancelled over a joke, the next time I upset people with a joke, I'm going to come out on the day of the cancellation. I'm going to make a statement, a public statement. I'm going to say, I've rehearsed this. I'm going to say, I'm sorry. And the people that I've offended will say, you don't really mean that apology. And I'll say, so you're saying I could say something and not mean it. Now you're getting it.
It's so simple, isn't it?
It's so bloody simple.
It's called a joke.
Please.
It's Tanya and Steve. It's 8:10. This is Newcastle's 102.9 Triple M. Beautiful start to the day. We've got an extra hour in the morning of sunlight, and it's going to be partly cloudy today. Top to 26 in the city, looking at 27 today for Maitland and the Valley.
Hey, we, as you well know, we went away on the weekend.
Yes.
Just out to Corlette with two of our very best friends and hired a house.
Couldn't have think Friday night was the perfect beach holiday. Oh, I was jealous for
it
sure.
It really was. But what was funny, we managed to get through the night's game and we're just sitting there at the end of the night's game, bang, all the lights went out.
Oh, tower.
In that raging storm on Friday night. We had a blackout.
Yep.
And guess what?
What?
She, who goes everywhere with a bag full of candles, finally got to prove that if you don't have candles in your handbag, what an idiot you are, because you never know when you're going to need them.
Idiot's harsh, but that's kind of the way tenure flies. Yeah. If you don't do like me, you're an idiot.
So, seriously, we're in this strange house out at Corlette,
yep.
And I had all of these candles that I raced around and lit. I even had some battery-operated ones.
Right.
And Mike, who's a bit of a Boy Scout, had torches in our car as well.
Did you have actual outfits and toggles as well? You know, the Boy Scouts are here, everyone. And
I can't believe you have candles. Like, candles will travel. I can't believe that.
I go everywhere with a bunch of candles.
In case of?
In case of ambience, romance, ambience? And blackouts.
Okay, you're perfect.
And blackouts.
Ambience and smell, I guess, in case you go into a smelly hotel room. That I get.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was in a hotel room in Sydney once in a blackout. Have you been in a hotel room in a blackout when it's just terrifying?
I thought they'd have a generator or something like that.
Well, they probably do now, but this is a while back.
Yeah.
So I was just curious, because it was great. We actually just sat around and enjoyed our evening via candlelight.
Now, this was a really lovely house, right?
Yeah.
I bet it didn't have a little blackout cupboard.
No.
There you go.
Blackout kit.
No, absolutely not.
Because ours, growing up, my mum always had the blackout cupboard. You know, candles.
Matches.
Even a transistor radio.
Oh.
On batteries.
Oh.
So you could hear what was going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But do you think that's a little bit a thing of the past?
Yes.
Because we've all got a mobile phone, probably.
With the torch on the mobile phone. Yeah.
So that's my question. Do you have a little bit of a, if there's a blackout, do you have the go-to, some candles and some matches?
Yeah.
Or not because of the phone?
1-3-3-5-3, we'd love to talk to you now.
Or do you have board games with a torch? that your friend like Jenny can keep you occupied whilst not being able to watch the TV.
I remember blackouts used to happen a lot more often as
they
a kid,
did.
Though. Like, do they not happen as often these days?
That was the
power outages?
First one I've had for years and years and years.
Remember the Pasha Bolka? We were out, for three or four? Actually, the 10 years after the Pasha Bolka, I remember there was like 3 or 4 days a lot of Newcastle was out of power.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And that's the last time I really remember.
I don't recall a lot of them. Occasionally, it's a lightning strike, and it's fixed relatively quickly, isn't it?
Yeah. So, well, look, that's the question. I don't think anyone does, to be quite honest.
No.
Do you have a go-to? Have you decided if there's a blackout, this is where my candles are. This is where my matches are.
1-3-3-5-3. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you.
I would have more fun with what the hell's in Tenya's bag.
What else does she take on holidays?
We got a blackout. Wait there.
Board games.
Your little bag.
Candles.
Oh, candles. It's all in there.
Yeah.
And Mike's the Boy Scout, as you said.
Yeah.
He carries what? The
Torches. Variety of them. Some really good ones.
He's a clever man, Michael.
Yeah.
Has he got a headband torch?
Oh, yeah, the one that we wear on the head.
Has he? We both do.
Let's go to Janine at Mayfield. Hello, Janine.
How are you going? I'm good.
Do you have a blackout drawer, Janine?
We do. And I've also taught my kids definitely get a blackout drawer.
There you go.
What's in yours, see? Janine?
Oh, just the usual, you know, candles. Lots of candles, matches, lighters.
Are they just the white candles, or do you go for the nice smelly ones? Which ones are in your drawer?
We've probably got a bit of an assortment.
There you are.
Oh, I love
it. Yeah, for sure.
Joanne, can I ask, has there been any moment you've actually had to go to that drawer in the last 5 years?
Yeah, for sure. We went to it a few months ago. We had a big blackout in Mayfield a few months ago, so yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The kids beat me to the drawer, so I'm very proud they know where to go.
I just have that vision, though, of you coming out, Janine, going, hey, look at this. Hey, I've got the radio. We can find out what's going on. Oh, we're just on our phones on the website, Mum. It's all good.
Exactly.
Hey, Janine, we've got one of our Tanya and Steve Mitch Rev's 10-year T-shirts for you.
Oh, choice. Look, guys, thank you.
You're welcome.
On you,
Janine.
It's very loud, so they'll see you in a blackout.
Yeah, it is very white.
See, yes, there's exactly. One tee.
I know.
Still got it?
You got a little drawer.
You got your fire drill drawer too?
I don't need a fire drill drawer, but we certainly know what to do in a fire drill emergency.
Stop, drop and roll. Oh, no, that's the fairies.
That's a nuclear bomb, mate. Duck and cover, it's called.
Do either of you have a blackout drawer?
I'm just still wondering when a fire breaks out and Rosie just stops and rolls.
Everybody's doing it.
Lizzie's wife's looking going, what are you doing over there?
Get the kids out.
We'll just walk out the door.
Drop and roll, kids.
Crawl out. There's no fire.
Oh, look, No. Well, it's just me. I talk myself out, I guess. What's your drill, though? First, both of you put on your head torches.
Well, I don't know how you can survive without a personal head torch myself. They come in all sorts of handy places.
Like what?
Oh, even when you're doing the housework sometimes and you want to get in those dark nooks. I take housework very seriously, Stephen.
Imagine that, knocking on Tanya's door. She answers it with her head torch on. It's like it's sunny outside, Tanya.
Well, it isn't under the washing machine, Ryan.
Exactly.
It's very dirty.
You know what's under my washing machine, Ryan?
What?
No idea.
Don't care.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up, loud enough, cause Tanya and Stephen.
Tanya and Steve's Fast Five. You know my other favourite? Reverse Fast Five. You do Fast Five questions to someone about someone else.
Yeah, nice.
That's right. But today, it's your turn, T.
Right.
Thought we get you to kick it off, so I'll throw five quick ones at you.
Okie dokie.
First response, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Beaches or mountains?
Mountains. Oh.
What's wrong, right?
That's a good question. Sorry, yeah. Sorry to interrupt. That's a difficult one. You answered it quickly, though.
Mountains
every time.
I would have thought you would have said beaches.
Look, it's a hard one.
I know.
Because I love both.
I know. This is where you can't sit on the fence, so
but
well done for going.
You have to go somewhere.
Is it because as well mountains aren't as accessible around here as beaches?
Well, true, because they're on our back doorstep, and I love going into the mountains and the changing scenery, the changing sky.
Oh, it's hard.
It's beautiful.
I agree. Lifetime supply of?
Well, the first thing was going to be chocolate.
That's it, yeah. See, I'm playing this. Right, when I wrote these, I think I know the answer.
Yeah.
Lifetime supply of?
Do I have to pick one, do I?
Yep.
Very, very expensive champagne.
Good answer.
I think that's wise.
Yeah.
I think
very
that's wise.
Expensive.
You can sell bottles of that and buy chockey.
Hand delivered by, you know, someone cute.
You're going to say Dominic Young with his shirt off. We've heard you like that photo, Steve.
Steve, tell you shut up.
Righty.
Yes?
Tanya's a woman, she can say whatever the hell she likes.
It's true. Don't you say that, though.
If you got a puppy today, what would you name it?
Oscar the Third.
Oh, I love it.
Because I've had Oscar the First, Oscar the Second, I'd go Oscar the Third.
I love it. I've got that one right too. Best holiday ever?
Best holiday ever? Best holiday ever was Germany.
Okay.
Mm.
Recently?
Yeah, love Germany.
Yeah, like the last trip you went to Germany.
Mm. You were doing the Christmas markets, you were doing all that gear.
It's amazing. I met Santa Claus.
I got that one wrong.
Why? What did you say?
Disneyland with Law.
Oh.
No, you can only have one answer. You've already
said
Germany.
No, but he reminded
last year.
Me it was the best holiday of my world, and it's probably always going to be.
Not anymore, it's Germany.
No, but I actually forgot about Disneyland because Lork was 11.
I know.
Perfect
it was
age.
The best holiday ever.
I just know that's really close to your heart, that one. Okay, last one. If you could change anything about yourself, now it doesn't mean physical either. Change anything about yourself, what would it be?
Less attractive. It's such a hassle.
You can say that.
Got that one right too. Unbelievable. Well, I got 3 out of 5.
Uncanny.
3 out of 5.
Wow.
I love that.
Yeah.
Would you do it for us? We're just looking at you every day. It's just so hard when we go and see other people.
Yeah, no, you know what I would change?
What?
And this is such a stupid thing.
Yeah.
But I'd love long, beautiful nails.
Right.
Yeah, and not ones that break all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love really beautiful nails.
Nails are really, they're really in at the moment.
They
nails,
are.
Aren't they? Like
and I don't
women.
Want to spend money on getting them done and wrecking them.
Yep.
But I just would love to flap around with long, red, shiny talons.
What was that? What was that runner with the really long ones?
Flojo.
Was it like Flojo size nails, or do you want them a little bit shorter?
A little bit shorter.
Yeah.
They were like full claws.
It's an interesting question, isn't it? Yeah, but nails is probably it for me.
It's a good question.
Yours aren't horrendous.
No, I know, but I just love to wake up with long, really pretty nails every day.
Well, I'm telling you now, I see that. It's like you spend too much time in yourself. Well, fair enough then.
Yeah.
That's our first incarnation of Tenure Sees Fast Five. I'm assuming you're going to be going next time we play,
Absolutely.
Steve.
Yeah, I've got to come up with a different answer to what would I change about myself, because mine was the same as Steve.